So let us sit anticipatingly, hopefully, expectantly, hallelujah, for the gospel of the grace of God coming through Dr. Elder William Liveman. Let's receive him with a hearty amen.
Praise and peace to the household of faith. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. For being here. Amen. 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 Come on, give him another hand. Amen. 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 If we come together, if you can't praise Jesus, well, it's time to go home. Amen. So when you come in this place, whether it's Grace Gospel Church or any entity where God's people come together, we should always magnify and praise God. And the thing about it, before we get into our scripture, the thing that we're going to do today, I want you to keep this in mind, because we're going to begin this, we're going to come back to this in the conclusion. One of the main things that confuses many of God's people today is this doctrine of synergism. Man's cooperating with God to effectuate salvation. But amen. But thank God we're going to beat on this doctrine today. It's causing a lot of people confusion today. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness, goodness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the essence of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for, oh God, causing us to be here one more time. And Father, right now, we thank you for Christ. We ask that everything said, everything done, will be done to edify Christ. Oh God, we thank you for your people today. We thank you for bringing us all together one more time. Let the word of God be magnified. Let Christ be exalted. And Father, right now, we ask that everything that's not like Christ, put aside, everything should glorify Christ. Bless the word of God today. Bless the word of God as only you can. And we thank you, Lord, and we'll be always mindful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. But trust that everyone has the Bible. And we're going to go right into the threefold methodology of Scripture. Amen. Threefold methodology. Thank God for everyone here. What's the threefold methodology of biblical exegesis? The threefold methodology. You call your Scripture. We can do that right now. Amen. And after you do that, we're going to explicate. We're going to exegete what we just called. Amen. Call the Scripture. We're going to exegete what we just called. Then we're going to explain it. And right now, after that, I'm not going to be talking about no Detroit Pistons and no the weather. No, I'm going to sit down. Because if you start doing that, you get it into all kind of directions. So after we do that, we're going to sit down. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Deacon Gavin, you can go ahead and read this in the King James. And we're going to do some exegesis in this in the Greek. Amen. Trust everyone. In fact, anyone that's been here over a year, everyone should have a Greek Bible by now. Amen. So if you don't have a Greek Bible, we can discuss that later. You won't have a Greek Bible. Amen. Okay, I repeat, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Then you can go ahead and read all four of those verses, and then you can also read that in the Greek, those verses in the Greek.
We're reading again from the letter of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, first King James Version. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, mm-hmm. where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead.
You're dead.
And your life is hid with Christ in God. Mm-hmm. When Christ, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Christ is, okay, we just read this in the King James. Go direct into the Greek, please.
Now, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 from the interlineal Greek text. If, therefore, ye were co-raised with Christ,
co-raised. Mm-hmm.
The things above seek, where Christ is at right of God sitting, mm-hmm. the things above mind ye, not the things on the earth. Ye died, for, and the life of you has been hidden mm-hmm. with Christ in God. Whenever Christ is manifested, the life of us, Christ the life of us, then also ye with him will be manifested in glory.
In glory. Church, if you're reading this, in essence, if you look at the spiritual mind, Paul here is talking about two workings taking place. The eternal view, the eternal sphere, the actualized sphere, for everything exists, and the sphere that's what's in the earth. But God's people said to say the focus on what? The earth, which is the insecure ring of, in terms of time, not in the actualized sphere in eternity. Now, the document that everyone should have, it is a document that, thank God, that's in our church. The pastor wrote years ago. I think everyone should have that document. Sister Ross, do they have that? I believe everyone has that document on God's eternal plan and purpose concerning all things were executed and actualized, not in time, but in eternity. So everyone should have this doc, this one sheet here that we prayerfully will cover, amen, today. So just bear with me. You'll get this sheet now. Okay, I repeat, this, God's eternal plan and purpose concerning all things were, not some things, church, all things, say all, were executed, actualized by his decree, came into being by what? His decree, via the medium of a saying in eternity. And while Roz is passing this out, we're going to do some exegesis on the verse that Deacon Gavin just read. And going back to verses, Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. In the Greek, referencing the Greek church, it says, therefore, it's not, you know, well, if you, no, therefore, if you are a member of the body of Christ, you have been raised. For you weren't raised in time, church, you were raised in eternity. God's already done it. Now, seek the things above, for Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Now, the word, you see that word, if then? That is a coordinating, subordinating conjunction phrase which draws its reference back to chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. In other words, if you refer back to chapter 2, Paul relays the facts that those in Christ having died through identification with Christ. We have died, church, through identification. Now, there are some things that we have died to. In fact, if you're in Christ, everything that's not in the essence of Christ, you've already died. Now, in manifestation, you may not have expressed, you may not express all the time what you've died to, but that doesn't take it away from the fact that you have died with Christ in eternity through his eternal workings. Now, one other thing Paul talks about being separated from, if you look at the exegesis here, there are some things that God's people need to be separated from. Why? Because they have died to these things. And in essence, church, one of the things that Paul says here is that one of the things that God's people, according to his purpose, have died to are the commandments and teachings of men. And one of the main things that God's people ought to be separated from, is the doctrine of synergism. Let's go back now. Synergism, I'm repeating, going real slow. Man's cooperation with God to effectuate salvation. If you read, if you live on that narrative, church, you will never have security in Christ. Because you believe that I have to cooperate with God to effectuate salvation, I have to cooperate with God, then you're going to have to put yourself on a plateau where no one can live to that standard. So it has to, the only secure ring is back in eternity where it all began, according to God's purpose. Now, render, going further here, the man's cooperation with God to effectuate salvation, note the Greek word render, have been raised, raised from in eternity, is derived from and according to the passive voice, the aorist tense, indicate that it was a completed action in the past. In the past, relating to your salvation, go back to the title, it refers back to God's eternal plan and purpose concerning all things, first thing, your salvation. It was all actualized in his decree in eternity. That means everything associated with salvation, your job, your kids, your family, the events, all of those events are also actualized. You're just not here trying to work things out on your own. The things that you're working out, church, has already been worked out. It's already, somebody said, I'm going through. Wait a minute, going through? God is already taking you through. Well, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, who does? Does he know? He knows all things. So we need, when Paul talks about seek those things above, seek, pursue things from the eternal sphere. That's where everything is to be actualized. And when we live the doctrine of parapartiology, as we walk through time, you may, boom, hit a stone wall one day. Well, why did God put that stone wall in your life? It's for purpose. He said that stone wall that you hit on a certain day, it was already there anyway. Your conscience just caught up with that, but it was already there. Somebody said, I got a job yesterday. Wait a minute, that job was already there. Well, I didn't know about it. Well, that doesn't mean you didn't know about it. It was there, church. If you live on a meal of what you know, you're going to be a confused person, because now you say, who knows all things but God? Somebody said, you didn't know you were saved before you were, quote, I accepted Christ. No. You accepted Christ because you accepted Christ in time. He calls you to accept him in time. Why? It goes back to the decree. He had already accepted you in eternity. If God had not accepted a, quote, the non-elect, we don't know who they are, you can forget it. They'll never get accepted in time. God is the one that what? Salvation is of the Lord. Now, church, what we're going to do here, going back to this, we're going to go to the document here. God's eternal plan. What about his eternal plan? Everything began, what? Not in time, but in eternity. First paragraph. God's purpose in eternity is in fact his accomplishments, which were indeed enacted, actualized by his decree in eternity. One's recognition of this fact renders the extent of all depictions of actions in time as solely manifestations of such. When this cogitation or thinking process is properly embraced, God's purpose is solidly entrenched in his sovereignty, ordered by his omniscience, what's that? His infinite wisdom. Ratified by his omnipotence, what's that? His limitless power, unlimited power, and cemented by his inherent immutability, inability to change, and can never fail. This is demonstratively documented by the proper scripture exegesis of God's purpose and its eternal fulfillment being of the same extent in Romans 8:28-30. Paul reveals to the enlightened mind that the foreknowledge enjoined the foreordained, the foreordained enjoined the called enjoined the justified, and the justified enjoined the glorified by all enactments by his eternal decree. In this light, congruency and concomitancy exude the distinction of eternity's characteristic of non-sequential application. Church, you see, the key is this. What we need to understand is that in the processes of life where we operate in the medium of time, what we tend to do, we'll do one thing. How many? We've been there. You do one thing, and then all of a sudden, you make up your mind to do something else. You make one promise, and you change. First of all, God has that for purpose. But see, somehow God's people put God on the same plateau. Oh, I'm good today, God saved me. I'm bad today, oh God, I'm not saved. So you put God in a point of making these daily decisions. You good? And first of all, here's the problem. Who's ever been good? That you have defeated yourself out the gate, church. Now the Bible says, if I keep my God's commandments, I'll be saved. If I keep the commandments, I'll make it in. Wait a minute. If you live on those old covenants, we can get there more detail later. You operate on a limited covenant, church. We have limited information. The covenant that we have, the grace covenant, is that somebody said, well, you sound like once saved, always say hallelujah, amen. Thank God. Once saved in eternity, always saved in time. That's the security to know. Lord, help me to imitate Christ. Thank you, Jesus. The good that I do, God calls you to do good. But the fact that when you hit your hand against a stone wall, you have the worst day of your life, that has no bearing on the fact that God saved you before the foundation of the world. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. He saved you in eternity. He saved you, church, in eternity. Not time. Let's go back to the second paragraph. Next paragraph. In this sense, God's perception of things is equal to their actual existence. See this? Thus, his decree of things is equal to their enacted application. God's purpose of manifestation in physical creation is necessarily exclusively for the testimony of his eternal workings to those whom he has created. Moreover, his purpose of eternal decree is necessary in declaration of the spiritual state of his fixed purpose and consummated progress, which is in essence the demarcation or separation of existence. The unbridled doctrine teaching of all existence having been actualized exclusively in God's decree in eternity stands essentially alone in its prioritized emphasis on God's eternal purpose. Eternal enactment places the entire gamut of God's purpose in the foreground and mitigates all doctrinal conceptions of synergism and free will theology as theologically inconsistent and more anthropological inspired. The doctrine of synergism, church, that's all has man is in the formula. And you know, whenever man is in the formula, it's going to cause some problems. You see, what is synonymous, church, with synergism is time. See, when you confess in time, that's synergism. I confessed the Lord, I got baptized, I did all the things in time. These are all processes. But God's purpose for your life goes back to his actualized decree. Before you even came here, God already had your life. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That's where the security is, church. But when you put your synergism, you cooperate with God. First of all, here's a question. How can depravity cooperate with God? You're going to destroy Romans chapter 9. It says this flesh has nothing to do with God. It's in total rebellion against God. Why did God save me? His purpose. He overrode your depravity. Because if God left it up to you, nobody would say, I came to the Lord. See, this doctrine that I came to the Lord. Somebody say, I did it. Well, the Bible also, our gospel speaks to that. It is Christ, God, that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is our gospel that speaks to that. Romans 5:5. The love of God has poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. People say, wait a minute, I love the Lord. Wait a minute, let's take that deeper. You love the Lord. Amen. Amen to that. But take that deeper back to eternity. You love the Lord because he calls you to love him. He calls you to adore him. He put the love of God in your heart in eternity, and you just express that in time. And that is the purpose why he did all in eternity. It goes back to his eternal decree. But see, church, you have to understand, you don't get this information in the other writings. Now, believe me, Lord, help me say this in love. The whole Bible is true. The whole Bible is wonderful. But don't go into those other covenants for doctrine. You go into those other covenants for doctrine. Pastor, they'll go to bed and say, am I saved? Well, I just read over there in the Keep the Law of Moses. I just read over there, whatever. Stay in your gospel regarding doctrine. And you'll be on steady ground. I tell you what, let's go down a history road for a few minutes because you'll see the danger of abiding outside the grace covenant for doctrine. Now, everyone here has good imagination. Let's take a little journey through history. Let's take a journey through the law. Now, we know God gave the law to Moses, right? We know that. I want you to imagine that imagine this because in manifestation, Gentiles had no, God had no dealings with Gentiles in manifestation. But for what? For this little exercise, imagine you, Moses, let's say one day after he had a hard time dealing with those hard-headed Israelites. And let's say Moses is resting one night. And let's say you tap Moses on the shoulder. He said, Moses, how are you saved? Are you saved, Moses? Moses said, yes. You're talking to Moses now. Well, how, Moses? Because God gave me the commandments on Mount Sinai, and we keep the commandments. That's why we're saved. Oh, okay. So that's the answer that Moses gave you. Let's journey. You're journey. You know, God. Now, first of all, did God stop giving revelation in the law? He didn't. So let's move through what? Kingdom. One day, Jesus and his disciples, they're out there, what, casting out devils, healing the sick. And let's say one day, let's take the leader of the kingdom church. You tap Peter on the shoulder. You tap Peter. Peter, are you saved? Peter said, yes, if you're saved. Well, how are you saved? Why are you saved, Peter? Are you kidding me? You know, Peter, James, John, the other kingdom apostles. We are saved because Jesus said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's why we're saved, because we identify with the kingdom gospel. That's why we're saved. Oh, so Peter's answer was different from what? Moses' answer. Let's move on. Did the Holy Spirit stop at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit was moving. Let's say you move on. Let's say one day, amen. Some of you know where I'm going. You see, the Apostle Paul is having a Bible class with Timothy and Titus. And you approach Paul. He says, Paul, am I saved? How am I saved, Paul? Paul, they're having a Bible class. Say me, you are saved. You are saved because God chose you before the foundation of the world. You are saved because one day you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, where he loved you. That's the answer you would get from Paul and Titus and Timothy and Lydia. You would get the answers that salvation is the work in eternity. Now, here's the question. Why in the world, somebody help me out, how are you going to get all the elect, Moses and all the, what, Old Testament patriarchs, the kingdom apostles, and the what? Apostle Paul. Why? You would get three different answers, church. Three different answers. Why? Because you refer back to the information that's in those covenants. In the information in the law, you are saved by keeping the law. But guess what's in our gospel? Paul shines light. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, shines light on that statement, because nobody could keep the law. Go on to the kingdom. You know, the kingdom, you're baptized and all this. That was the what? Process at that time to identify with the kingdom gospel. They were baptized in water as a process in the kingdom gospel based on the information that was outlaid in those covenants. Now you go on to our gospel, which where you have more information. The body, the mystery. What's the mystery? In the Bible, the mystery. What's the mystery, church? Church, you should have this ingrained in your spirit. If you have to put it on your refrigerator, in your bedroom, you should have the definition of the mystery. What is the mystery? The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the grace church. Information that was not revealed in times of past. Time past, but now, ages to come. That volume of true church. That is our information today, and it'll shine light on those other covenants to let you know that it's not about it being saved in time, it's about being saved in eternity. Having been saved. Now, here's the good news, technically. Moses, Abraham, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Peter, James, up to this day, in the Old Testament, in the old writings, they were all saved because they were chosen by God. They just didn't know it. They thought they were saved by some process in time, but our gospel tells us they were saved in eternity, but they didn't know it. Church, there's a lot of things you don't know. That doesn't keep from existing. There are many nations. If you name some nations that exist today, many of us wouldn't know. I didn't know that place existed. But the fact that you didn't know, did that take anything away from the fact that it's there? So in essence, church, the demarcation of God's eternal workings, and the thing that confuses all of God's people, they don't have the comparison and contrast in the cogitation to a time and eternity. See, going back to synergism, if you abide in the doctrine of synergism, you have salvation in time. But thank God, salvation is an eternal work. It's already done. So you have to know, you have to, church, do not separate these messages. Don't confuse time and eternity. Because in the kingdom gospel, you are baptized in time. In the grace gospel, you were baptized in eternity. For by one spirit, were we baptized. Were. In the kingdom gospel, you are saved in time. In the grace gospel, you were saved in eternity. In the kingdom gospel, you are righteous in time. In the grace gospel, you are righteous in eternity. See, in that time, the information they had at that time, we keep the law of Moses, we're righteous. But who could keep the law of Moses? So these covenants are just processes. In the kingdom gospel, the focus is on what God was going to do. He was going to one day deliver Israel. He was going to one day raise up the information revelation. But in the grace gospel, the focus is on what God has already done. So, in the essence of the workings of God, church, we need to understand that everything is according to God. Say, according to God. Everything is according to his eternal purpose. Go back to the third paragraph, please. Everything is according to God. Okay? Humanistic infusions emphasize man's will rather than God's will. Those who embrace free will theology mitigate against the sovereignty of God in that they are always found raising a similar question Paul anticipated in Romans 9:14. Is there unrighteousness with God? Paul was so outraged by the question of God's justice that he dismissed the question with a decisive denial. To this assertion, the apostle decried, "Who are you, O man, that rebelled against God? Shall the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Depraved minds accuse God of being unjust in his purpose that he might save some and not all." In corroboration, John, in his vision of the revelation of Jesus Christ, heard the blending of the song of Moses with the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Referencing Revelation 15:3. Now, let's move on to the next statement. There is no inequality in God's ways. How can man on such a low level of depravity rise to the level of questioning God's justice? Now, let's stop here. Let's say something about this. Men of God's people, now if you really search most of God's people's heart, you know, Romans 9 talks about, amen, Esau and Jacob. God loving one and not loving the others. And here's the problem. Men of God's people do not understand sovereignty as it relates to God's eternal workings. They don't understand sovereignty. And in its simplest form, what is sovereignty? God does what he wants to do, how he wants, and he does it, that's when he wants. It's all according to what? God's eternal purpose. He said, now, here's the key. Is God just or not? We know that he's just. Is he perfect? He does what he wants to do. The fact that perfection is God. He is the perfect one. Does he have the right to save whom he wants to save? See, the depraved mind, again, locked in synergism, because that's too much to handle. Locked in synergism tells us that, wait a minute, you come to God, there are billions of people on the earth, God wants to save all billion, so So you just make up your mind and come to God and he'll save you. That is teaching that has been around for 2,000 years. God wants to save you now, but you need to make up your mind. Now, we've heard it. Come on, y'all. You know you heard it. Make up your mind while you have the time. Make up your mind. And I've heard him say this. In fact, I heard, you know, one of my, quote, past church, I call it my church, you know, movements around, amen, Lord, everybody has a purpose, right? But I was in this one church, in fact, I'm not beating up on church, I'm just making a point. For this preacher, he was determined in his mind to get these saints saved this day. And he made a statement, listen, God want you to be saved, and we're not going to go down, nobody's going nowhere until you come and repent of your sins and get saved. That's, he gave this long altar call. 45 minutes later, he was still standing, nope, standing right here, and so church was over at normally about 1:30, so this is close to 2:30. You're standing right here until you make up your mind. And so the more he talked, I could look around, people get mad. Church, you better stay in your gospel. You put salvation time, you'd be doing some crazy stuff. An hour, 15 minutes later, it was like a tense in that place. No, I'm going to stay here. So now he was a visiting preacher. I could see the pastor getting upset. He said, man, you know, the pastor wanted to tell the dick man, put his, but he was, you know, he was an aspiring young bishop, so he just wanted to make a statement, right? So I said, Lord, how long is this going to go on? So I want to thank God for the church. Thank God for the saints' boldness. Thank God for the saints' boldness. Will somebody go out there and get saved so we can go try and go get, so I can go get something to eat? Somebody get out there and get saved. Now, can you imagine? This is what we're telling us about. You let it, please get out there and get saved. Now, you know what? You don't mean to be funny, church. But that's what happened. Now, I didn't know that's that kind of extreme situation. But there are some things we heard, but no, we're not going to stay here. You leave here, there could be a Mack truck that could be waiting for you. Now, you had a chance, and all of a sudden that Mack truck hit you, you in hell, and the Lord could remind you. But you know you had your chance in that church, but you decided to go out there, and you got hit by a Mack truck. Church, we heard all this crazy stuff. You know why? What did Paul say? If you look over to reference Colossians chapter 3, Deacon Gavin just read it, 1-4, and refer back to when he talks about being separated from the rudiments of this world, the commandments today, the commandments of men and men is doctrine of synergism, where you have to cooperate with God to effectuate salvation. And when you are locked in synergism, you are locked in time. And you are not saving time, church. You are saving eternity. And that's the secure arena. Because for years, I was locked in this doctrine that, amen, had a good day. Oh, hallelujah, let the rapture come. See, here's another problem about pride and arrogancy. Your best day cannot rise to the standard of God's justice. And no one can stand and rise to that standard. Give the Lord a hand. No one. So, if you're looking at your thinking process, somebody said, wait a minute, my good day. Wait a minute. I got up. I was nice to my wife or nice to my husband. I went to work. I treated my supervisor right. And I went to Sunday. Oh, I paid more in my giving, tithing. So they have all of these incremental things that they did. Amen. How wonderful God calls you to do those things. But here's the problem. You go to bed at night and you are so happy. Hallelujah. The rapture come. Come on, Lord. I'm ready. And all of a sudden, that same day, you drive up and you think evil your neighbor who drove past you, whatever, and you had an evil thought toward your neighbor. Guess what? You just destroyed all those things you did if you abide on those other covenants. If you live on those other covenants where you do all these things And if you blew one, you just eradicated all the others. And people carry that thinking, what, to today's church. What happened? You have a good day, and one, you mess up one time, you are on the, don't forget the rapture, you are left behind. And there was a book written, I'm not even called the author's name, written in the 70s, called Left Behind. And the whole essence of that book was steeped in synergism. In fact, it even told you ahead of section, here's the strategies to live by when you missed, if you missed the rapture. Here's what you should do. Book became a bestseller. Why? It has all the focus on you, church. Anything that has the focus on man, eradicate that, because the focus should always be on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ, Christ, Christ. Christ is our focus. Christ is our life. Christ is our beginning, the end. Christ is all things. It's all about Christ, 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 Christ. But the security is to live in the actualized fear of God's eternal purpose that He has for you. Now, what we're going to do, as we approach the close, I'm going to share something in terms of, if you notice, the first thing I mentioned was that we talked about synergism. Again, things you have to repeat. For synergism, again, man believing that you have to cooperate with God to effectuate salvation. And everything is according to God. Everything is according to God, church. If you live by the... I tell you, let's go there, because we need, you cannot say that too many times. In fact, we had this in our... in the seminar, that was our base scripture yesterday. Everything is according to God. And it's, they go up there. See, it starts about... see, verse 11. Go up about five verses. And before you... According to God, go up about five verses. It says to verse... go to Ephesians 3:11. Start right around, see, 3:11. Go to about 5:11. Amen. Okay. I tell you, go 1:11. Go on that time. Read Ephesians. Now, every church, please, because you know a lot of times we're waking up men of God's people. They see things happen in their life. And they say, Lord, why? And many of us live that way. Lord, why? I don't understand this, Lord. Why? Our gospel speaks to that. D, I want you to read. Go ahead and read verse 3, 1 through 11, and read verse 11 in Greek. Okay?
I'm reading from the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning verse 1 and completing in verse 11. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men,
yes,
as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given,
yes,
that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Everything.
To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And now, and verse 11, mm-hmm. Which I'll read also in the Greek text. Yes. The manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Eternal purpose. Greek.
Now, verse 11 from the interlinear Greek text. According to purpose of the ages, mm-hmm. which he made in Christ Jesus the Lord of us.
Amen. Church, what Deacon Gavin just read in the Bible, did God create some things or all things? He created all things. And here's another problem. When you say God created all things, people get it because most people's minds are natural. Oh, God gave me this wonderful husband. Yeah, God did it. God gave me my job. God, they have these things separated in God's workings. God gave me a new car. See, because most of God's people are what? Physical. God gave me a new job, a new car, and wonderful thing. That's all part of God. Amen. But see, he created all things. Amen. That bare temple that you experienced with, God created that. That empty bank account, God created that. That husband don't cooperate, God created him. Those kids sometimes run you crazy, God created that situation. All the adverse things that we perceive, our thinking is that, and we know the thinking, if it's good, it came from God, if it's bad, it came from the devil. Now you got the devil creating stuff. The devil has never created nothing. He is only used by God to fulfill God's eternal purpose. God is God all by himself, and he doesn't need anyone to even come close to cooperating with God. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need no help. He didn't need any help when you came here. He don't need any help. And someone said, he saved me. He only saved you because it was for his glory. Not for you to quote being, I'm religious. No. He saved it because it pleased him. So it goes back to him. Everything is according to God. And if we understand, when we eradicate synergism, church, then we can have the peace of God to know that everything is according to God. And I'm going to close. Sometimes I'm going to go back to synergism, but I had an experience, interesting experience. I'm going to close on this little song here. It's going to speak to what I'm going to close on. I was sitting with my mom. I think you all know my mom is 91 years old. The Lord bless her. And I was sitting with her. She was sleeping. This song came on. And this song has been sung. It's probably sung by thousands of churches today. It's called, some of you know the song. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read the words, the lyrics. Called The Old Account Was Settled. And it's interesting. Here's the problem with God's people. They read something and they sing something, but they don't know what they're singing. And by the way, beautiful song. They're not beating up on songs today, but I want you to listen to the words and see that this song will speak to what we've been talking about today regarding synergism. See, sometimes, you notice the first statement I've made today, the men of God's people are locked into synergism. So I'm going to close on this song that relates to synergism. It's going to go refer right back to the topic about synergism. Here's the words. The old account was settled. Here are the words. There was a time on earth when the book of heaven, an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went into the keeper and I settled it long ago. Let's move on. Long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle it. I settled it long ago. See the problem? Let me move on. When in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I sing redemption story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled it. I settled it long ago. And the last part, O sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin, for thus he hath provided for you to enter in. In closing, and then if you should live 100 years below, up there you will not forget it, because you settled it long ago. You see the problem? In fact, when I was listening to the song, because I've listened to the song when I was a kid, I said, oh, glorious song, glorious song. But I was sitting, my mother was asleep, and I almost shouted for joy, because I said, see, most people think, oh yes, when Jesus Christ came and he rose from the dead, they say, yes, the account was settled long ago. Church, what we need to understand, I shouted because no, the account was not settled long ago, because long ago, 2,000 years ago, refers to what? Time. Thank God Jesus Christ died. He rose from the dead. He died. Amen. Somebody say, hey, wasn't that the account? No. That was the manifestation of the account that Jesus died. That was the manifestation. But somebody say, well, when was the account settled? I'll tell you when the account was settled. The account was settled when Jesus Christ rose from the dead in eternity, according to my gospel. The account was settled when you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The account was settled when you were raised up together and made sit together in the heavens in Christ. The account was settled when, therefore, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. The account was settled. As a member in the body of Christ, you haven't been. He blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. In closing, the account was settled, not in time. The account was settled in eternity. And that's why I go to my grave and preach the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace is the gospel of the grace of God.
Jesus. Glory! Glory! Glory!